Normally, right now, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, if you have not done so. If you have a different translation than what was read, it may be very confusing. If you have the NIV or the King James or another modern translation other than the one that was read, and so I'm going to ask you to turn in your bulletins to follow along with. That's the New American Standard. If you have that, then turn in your Bibles. We're actually in process of ordering those that particular translation as a pew Bible, just so in the future it will come. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful to come before your word, and it is best for us to come before your throne to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. By your Holy Spirit, centuries ago, you moved men to write your very word. And so as we partake together around your word, we ask for your Spirit's help for understanding and application so that we might grow in Christ, so that we might gain greatly in godliness, being content with who you are. Because of that, Lord, we humble ourselves to ask for your assistance because we need help in oh so many ways. In every way, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Show of hands, how many of you know the song by Cutlass, "That's What Faith Can Do"? That's what faith can do. Okay, you can put your hands down. For the rest of you, go Google it later and listen to it. I would suspect that those of us who know the song like the song. I admit, I like the song very much. But the reason you and I like it is because we come from the foundation of faith in Christ. We have that as our background. We bring Christianity with us. We draw an automatic conclusion about the content of the song that it is speaking to us about having faith in God. And I'm not here today to take away your fandom from Cutlass or ask you to change your iPods or MP3 players or anything like that. If you have Cutlass and you like them, if you go to see Cutlass, if you wear Cutlass t-shirts, I'm not here to dissuade you from doing that. But beloved, I'd like us to have a little bit more of a sensitive eye so that we might understand God's word by taking a moment to listen to the lyrics of a song that is very popular on Christian radio, to evaluate the words that are spoken based entirely on those words and only those words. We may come to a different conclusion. So what I'd like you to do as I read the lyrics of the first verse and the chorus is not to have the foundation of Christianity in your as your backdrop. I'd like you to think of yourself as an Orthodox Jewish person who loves Yahweh but rejects Jesus. Or consider yourself a Muslim who believes devoutly in Allah, that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his prophet. So either Jew or Muslim. Okay, as I read, listen with that set of lenses, please. Everybody falls sometimes. I promised my family I wouldn't sing it. Everybody falls sometimes. Gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take. But you're stronger, stronger than you know. Don't you give up now. The sun will soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move mountains, hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do. Now, as a good Orthodox Jew or a good Muslim, has that song challenged your faith in any way? Or could a good Muslim or a good Jew ascribe to that song and say, Amen, praise Allah, or praise Yahweh? Is there anything about the song that makes it specifically Christian? Yeah, but Pastor, I like it. I know, because you come to it with your foundation of faith. But when we do that, we need to be really careful. And I'm not saying Cutlass is Muslim or... I'm not saying that. I'm just asking you to be critical about the way you view things at times. We need to be careful. Because I believe that the scripture for us today teaches us how it is that we can have and can draw those conclusions, but that they need to be stated by a follower of Christ specifically. Look at Romans 4, 16 through 21 again, not all the way through, just a few of the verses. For this reason, it is by faith, that's what faith can do, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, God's grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him, God, whom he believed. You see, scripture gives to us the specific object of Abraham's faith, God himself, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he, Abraham, believed, so that he might become the father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God made a promise to Abraham and said, I will make you a father of many nations. And it was credited to him as righteousness, not only so that faith and grace are to those who are of the seed of Abraham, his biological, ethnically origined Jews, but also to those individuals who have faith like Abraham, the Gentiles who believe Almighty God. Those are Abraham's descendants. It's not just talking physically, it's talking spiritually as well. Faith in God. And in hope against hope. Now, I will tip my hat to the NIV here where it says against all hope. In hope against hope. You see, Christian hope, biblical hope, scriptural hope is distinguishable from secular optimism. The sun will come out tomorrow. And it is distinguished from it because in that it is grounded in what God has done in Christ. That's what chapter 2 and 3 and specifically 4 have been all about. Showing us our need for a Savior that God has propitiated. God has justified. God has done the work in Christ. Hope against hope is distinguished from secular optimism because it's grounded in what God has done. In the light of Calvary, believers may have confidence that God's purposes will be worked out. That's a quote from Leon Morris. God's purposes will be worked out. He had hope against hope, Not hope in some kind of suck it up, positive mental attitude kind of way. He had hope against hope because he knew God would fulfill his promises because of who he is. Now, it says here, and it's very interesting that it says it in verse 19. I love this part. I think this has direct application, which we'll get to in a minute. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was about 97. God made the promise to Abraham that he was going to have an offspring by Sarah when they, about 23 years before this, actually. I mean, mathematically, give or take a few years. 70-some years old. Now he's 100. When was the last time you heard about a 100-year-old having a baby without medical help? Doesn't happen, does it? It's quite impossible, isn't it? I mean, really. Outside of the miraculous, can a 100-year-old man father a child with a 97-year-old woman? Class says? No. Who said? Somebody said yes over here. I hear somebody goofing on me. Beloved, it doesn't happen. It's impossible. Physically speaking, it things don't swim no more. And I'm not being gross. It does not physically work. Back to Cutlass. It doesn't matter what you've heard. Impossible is not a word. It's just a reason for someone not to try. Everybody's scared to death when they decide to take that step out on the water. It'll be all right. Life is so much more than what your eyes are seeing. You will find your way if you keep believing. I've seen dreams that move mountains, hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen, silent prayers get answered, broken heart become brand new. That's what faith can do. Is that the kind of faith that Abraham had in his impossible situation? Without being weak in faith, he contemplated his body as good as dead, because it was. Does that mean that Abraham didn't try? No, Abraham had to try. You understand the hidden curriculum there? Abraham and Sarah had to try at 197, but it was physically impossible. But what happens? What happens? The impossible is made possible. Why? Because they tried? No, because God had promised. That's why. That's what the text said. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what faith can do. Not faith in faith, as some TV preachers would like to tell you, if you have enough faith. God wants me to be healthy. God wants me to be rich. God wants me to be happy. No, that's not what God wants. God wants you to have faith in him and his promises. And that's how Abraham dealt with the impossibility of his physical inability to father a child. God is the God of promise. So continue reading with me. Romans 4, 22 through 25. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sakes also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. It wasn't credited to Abraham's sake as righteousness just for Abraham. It was credited for our sake also, because one day it will be credited to us. Now, in context, The will be credited can be a little confusing if we didn't already read in chapter 3 that it already has been credited to us. So what we have here is an already and not yet fulfillment of the crediting of Christ's righteousness to us. We stand justified before God, but this is not our final state. One day we will see him just as he is, and his righteousness will be realized in heaven. That is the ultimate future. Abraham, at the point of where Paul is picking him up in Romans, his body is as good as dead. And yet, in the future, there is a promise of God that gives Abraham a hope against all hope that God will fulfill his promise. And he knows God fulfills his promises. So in this life, you and I might have trouble. But God always fulfills his promises, and his righteousness will be credited to us as it already is. It's an already and not yet proposition. Not only for Abraham's sake, but for our sake as well, to whom he will credit, as those who believe in God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered for our transgressions, because of our sins, he was delivered to the cross. And because we needed justification, he was raised from the dead. And what does Abraham do in that? He gives glory to God. Does Cutlass give glory to God when they sing? Yeah, I'm fairly certain they do. Their lyrics don't exactly reflect it. We have to provide that. And it's right to do. Beloved, it's right to do. I mean, we hear them on KFNW. I mean, you wouldn't hear a Muslim singing on KFNW, would you? I don't know. You and I need to have sensitive and critical eyes, not only in the very light example of the music that we listen to. It's very important in those areas. And, you know, when you watch TV, when your kids are being exposed to things on Facebook and the internet and, you know, information and just, you know, light examples of that. But when you and I face circumstances around us that we can't make heads or tails of, we don't know what's going on, it doesn't make sense to us, and where someone is presenting a solution to the problem, that's what faith can do, faith in faith. And apart from God, you and I need to be very critical, critiquing what is being given to us as biblical faith. In all of our circumstances, we need to develop eyes that see and ears that hear and understand our presuppositions that we bring with us. Just because somebody says they have faith doesn't mean that they have faith in God. Just because somebody says they have faith in God doesn't mean that they have faith in the God of the Bible. They could have been fed all their lives some milquetoast gospel that is centered on man rather than centered on Almighty God and be presenting that as him. We need to be sensitive and critical. We need to know the difference between a man-centered gospel and the gospel that Paul is preaching, to which he is not ashamed. What is the gospel? Beloved, is the gospel serving our neighbor? Is the gospel social justice? We had a couple of missionaries here a few months ago that were talking about justice initiatives in India, about women being sold into slavery for all kinds of purposes. We support a missionary. We pray for her every week because she's rescuing young girls from a trafficking that is deplorable. It's horrible. It's disgusting by any standard of righteousness. Is that the gospel? Rescuing little girls from that lifestyle? Is social justice the gospel? No, that's not the gospel. That's a good thing to do. And we really should do it. Justice and justice initiatives should be something that followers of Christ seek. But that's not the gospel. Is benevolence the gospel? You have, you know, the food bank, you're collecting food and bringing cans in so that people can eat and giving turkeys and doing things benevolently. Is that the gospel? Is supporting missionaries the gospel? Those are good things to do. But it's not the gospel. That's a man-centered gospel. That is not the gospel centered on God. The gospel is good news that is proclaimed. Good news about what God has done in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's what is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. God has justified in Christ Jesus. God has propitiated in Christ Jesus. That is the power of God in salvation. How is it that you and I can have hope against hope? Well, if there's a circumstance in your life where you need hope against hope, or where things seem to be impossible, what I'd like to offer is something a little more than what Cutlass might give us. Once again, I don't want to attack your fandom of Cutlass. Okay, I don't want to do that. I really don't. But I would suggest that in prayer, you specifically get the Lord after that person or that circumstance. Ask God to interfere in their life. Because what does God want? Does God want me to be healthy? Does God want me to be happy? Does God want me to be wealthy? No, I don't think that's what he wants. 2 Peter 3:9. I think this is what God wants. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise. Oh, look at that. The promise to Abraham. What God promises that he will credit to us as righteousness when we see him face to face in Christ Jesus. God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You know what God wants? God wants repentance. God wants people to be broken, to come to him, to turn from everything that they hold as secure, to find him as the one and only security. So in prayer, hope against hope in those hopeless, impossible situations, that people would repent and turn to God, and that you and I would repent as well. What does God, how can we hope against hope? Not only in prayer, but in witnessing, in actually sharing the gospel with somebody. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the remotest parts of the earth. Acts 1:8. Hope against hope. Is there a family member of yours that's lost, that is far from Christ, that has no inclinations toward God whatsoever, in open rebellion against God? Nobody's ever going to reach them, are they? Nobody's ever going to touch them. They're so hard-hearted. They've gone through so much of life. Hope against hope, beloved. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. It might not be you, so you might have to get somebody else after them. Howard Hendricks prayed for his father for 43 years. Howard Hendricks is a great Christian speaker, apologist, thinker. His father never came to faith with Christ with Howard. He came to faith in Christ with a stranger named Gus on a bus. Do you think Howard cared who it was that tipped his father into the kingdom? No. No. So maybe there's somebody you know that somebody else in this room needs to go to share the gospel with them. So you need to ask them. Say, hey, can you go talk to Cousin Larry? He needs Jesus. Maybe you need to do that. And the person going, don't be ashamed. It is the power of God unto salvation. Hope against hope in prayer, in witnessing, and in ministry. In ministry. We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. If you clean, if you cook, if you run bulletins, if you preach, if you sing, if you Awana, if you vacuum, if you whatever. You and I minister in the power of the Holy Spirit because of what God has promised. In hope against hope. Not just to have a nice looking building, but that people would come here and meet Almighty God. That's why we serve. Who we are here at Hope, it isn't about the structure or institutions. It's about relationship. It's about your relationship with God. It's about your salvation. It's about coming to faith in Christ. It's about repenting and turning from yourself to Him for salvation and clinging to the cross. If you are saved, then it's about your sanctification, your continued growth to maturity. That is why we offer ladies' Bible studies, men's Bible studies. That is why we offer Awana and every other thing that we do. So that people may come to a deeper appreciation and love for God based on who He is rather than who we make Him out to be. It's about your relationship with God. That's who we are. It's in our core values. That we honor God in our worship. That we strive to know Him. That we celebrate in our worship. It's about your relationship to me and my relationship to you. It's about our relationships with each other. Our fellowship, our relationships are to be built in Christ. We offer those opportunities, not just so we can get together and have some good hot dish or some really good cookies or some really strong coffee. I mean, those are good things. Amen, I'll preach that. But we offer fall flings. We do those movie nights and so that we can be together to relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I love that little acronym. Have you ever seen it before? BASIC, basic, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we're about here. That's what we want to be about. I know that sometimes when we go to Northside or Lala or somewhere else, we face different accusations about that. And that's okay, because they don't know. You and I know. It's what we should be about here. It's not about the structure. I don't care if this building looked like a pig barn, which we were warned not to build our structure like a pig barn. You're going to build a church, eh? Don't build it look like a pig barn. What do you, what business, what? I'm glad it doesn't look like a pig barn, but even if it did, we here at Hope, it's about relationship, yours to God, ours, and then to our community, really. It's why we have Awana in the school. It's why we do VBS at the 4-H building. I mean, it's why we do those things there, to be out in the community so people will know who we are in Christ. It's why we do release time. Anytime we're in public, that's the message that we bring. That's why Minnesota Teen Challenge comes, because they're part of our community. That's why the Oswalds come. That's why we support Julie Smoody. We're reaching out to a larger community. That's why Dave Nagy, my friend with Crusade, came. Because it's about our relationship. That's what we aim at here. And so, I've seen miracles. I've seen dreams that move mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end. Even when the sky is falling, I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith in Christ can do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Young people, come and lead us in how great thou art. I think that's right, isn't it? How great thou art?
please stand as we sing How Great Thou Art.